We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast that dives into social relationships and why the investment you put into them is so important. Your host, Lori Hybu, will connect with industry-leading professionals and dive into their networking experiences and expert advice.
Hey, everybody, Lori Hybu here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybu and on Facebook. This week's guest is Veronica Henke. Veronica has been researching the Titanic for as long as she can remember. She has interviewed hundreds of experts on lifestyles, foods, and drinks for Tribune Media and maintains close working relationships with leading chefs and mixologists around the world. Her report, Titanic Cocktails, appeared in Wine Enthusiast magazine, honoring the 100th anniversary of the Titanic, and was blogged by The Village Voice. Ms. Henke currently resides just outside of Chicago, Illinois. Veronica, welcome to the show.
Hi, Lori. Thanks. It's wonderful to be here.
I'm excited for this because it's such an interesting topic, and I'm sure you've got lots of great stories to share. But I'm just going to come out and say it. So why did you write your book, The Last Night on the Titanic, Unsinkable Drinking, Dining, and Style?
Well, I really wanted to honor the 100th anniversary year of the sinking of the Titanic, which was in 2012. The anniversary year was in 2012. And so I spent pretty much the whole year prior, 2011, really researching to find a hook, something interesting that would be, in line with what I knew a lot about, which is drinking and dining and style. And what ended up happening is a 250-word article in Wine Enthusiast magazine. And when I say that I wanted to honor that anniversary, I always feel like it's important for us in our craft, writing and researching, which is what I do, to acknowledge these important periods in history and important milestones and events in history in a way that something we know well. In that case, for me, it was writing a story. So I wanted to do that, and that's the result of that. And I had never thought of writing a book about that topic. And a publisher saw the magazine article, and as you mentioned, it had been, blogged by the New York Times, the Village Voice, and it received really great praise as far as an interesting topic. And that was really underscored when a publisher wanted to write a book about it. And I thought, oh, wow, how am I going to turn this 250 or 300-word article into a book of that many pages, right? 300 pages or so. And it ended up extrapolating out from that magazine article by looking at the menus. I'm a huge fan of researching old menus and what they tell us about what people's lives were like many years ago, not just in the Edwardian era, but I love looking at everything from, the Gatsby era of Prohibition to, the 1950s and so forth. And I wanted to tell the story of the people who were tied to the Titanic. So it made sense to look at the people who saved menus and some people wrote letters home about their meal that they ate. Those letters, some of them have been saved. And I ended up with a book.
That's so cool. I just think that's amazing what you've done. And what a fascinating concept overall to take a period in time, a very significant period in time and milestone, and just turn it into something that we're all used to today. I just love the concept that you've done here. So what do you really hope that the readers will take away from reading this book?
Well, that's an easy one. I want people to be inspired by these people. Every story that I told had a purpose, kept me going. And it really kept me going through some of the darkest days in my life. My mother passed away suddenly. A few months later, I found out that I had triple negative breast cancer. My dog recently passed away. I I've really had some personal challenges in the last, I would say, 2 to 3 years. And through the time that I went through that, you know, the deadlines were there and they weren't going to get changed. You know, we just plowed ahead. And these people that I was researching about and writing about, you know, typing away on my laptop until like 3, 4 in the morning sometimes, you know, such tragic stories, but such inspiring stories of people that were heroes in the end. And they really cared about people. And I want to impart that on the readers. I really want people to read this book and feel stronger like I did.
Very cool. So is it a cookbook or, I mean, I've heard this term culinary narrative. Speak to that a little bit.
Yes, it's a culinary narrative. And we're seeing more and more of these days, Lori, as you know. Pretty much it's a narrative with some recipes sprinkled throughout. And I really curated those recipes to be purposeful where they were located. I strategically put them in spots. Like, for instance, today would have been the birthday of one of the third class passengers who's featured in the book. And his name was Popcorn Dan because he had a popcorn wagon. So that's where we put a recipe in the section of the book where he's featured. We put a recipe for caramel corn because caramel corn was introduced in 1893 and was a trending snack when the Titanic would have sailed. So, or it would have been a trending snack when the Titanic sailed. So we wanted to have something to honor Popcorn Dan, this popcorn vendor who did not survive, and also to illuminate some of the food trends at the time. We don't know for sure that popcorn was on the Titanic, but it surely might have been. Just about every treat known to man was aboard the ship. And they had really fantastic machinery like an electric sorbet maker and so forth. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if that were the case. So the recipes are recipes like that, or they're actual menu items that we do know, the public today does know that certain things were on the menus. And some of those recipes are included. And then there are some in Titanic-inspired recipes. You know, like there's a split pea soup recipe that Craig Flynn from Chives Canadian Bistro in Nova Scotia contributed. And peas were ubiquitous aboard the ship. They were spring peas because it was springtime when the Titanic sailed. But this particular chef wanted to highlight peas in some way. So the split pea soup is sort of a riff on the peas that were ubiquitous on the ship. And the same with asparagus and other spring ingredients.
I love it. So how many of these recipes have you actually made?
Well, I tested them all.
Ooh.
And yeah, and had a lot of fun with that. You know, the book took 2 years.
Wow.
And a few of the recipes were my mother's. So I, you know, was familiar with those already, a couple of them. And some of the recipes I'm going to be making again real soon because there are quite a few fall recipes. Apple meringue, which was contributed by pastry chef Gail Gand, one of my favorite chefs. And there are other apple recipes. And so it's definitely the kind of book that you can reference throughout the year, through all four seasons.
I love this. And I'm looking at the book right now. In the back, it has a drink and food index. If you're just curious on, you know, what's in the book from recipe-wise, that's a good starting point. But I'm really eager to try some of these out, actually. And I'm just going to share a little small anecdote. I do a round robin dinner with a group of friends, and we always pick a different theme. And I feel like I want to use your book as a theme. Like, you have to make a recipe for your course out of the book.
Well, that is wonderful to hear. And actually, that was one of the intents of the book. We really wanted this to be sort of a reference guide for people that like to entertain at home.
Mm-hmm.
There are all sorts of different tips and pointers for people that entertain at home. There's everything from, there's one section on entertaining at home with oysters safely. And there's, you know, different ideas for different toppings and things for different desserts throughout. We have, you know, boxes throughout the book that just to kind of inspire and give ideas to home cooks and people that like to entertain.
Very cool. I love it. I'm excited to dive in a little bit deeper and definitely start sampling some of these recipes. All right. So, you know, the purpose of the show here is really to focus on community and networking. And one of my goals is to help alleviate the fears that some individuals might have when they hear that word networking. So can you share with our listeners your most successful or favorite networking story or experience that you've had?
I sure can. It's recent. My most recent and favorite networking experience was last month in July. I organized a party for the book, and I didn't want to just have a book party. I wanted to do something really special, and this was specifically for the press. And so we wanted to have a panel discussion, and getting together my colleagues and people that contributed to the book. We brought in someone who could make cocktails that are Edwardian, and he's an Edwardian expert on Edwardian cocktails, and his company is called The Cocktail Guru, and it's Jeffrey Pogash, who had been in communications with Moët and Hennessy for many years until he recently retired, and what he's doing now is really fabulous. And so that's just one example of the amazing people that we brought together with reporters in July at the Gage restaurant. And I kind of took the approach of, you know, hey, I don't always get to, you know, I always go to a networking event and think, well, here's what I would do, right? So I thought, well, I'm going to just be able to do the things I want to do this time. And so I reserved the bottom part of the Gage. We worked with them to be able to utilize the bar, and Jeffrey made Edwardian signature cocktail drinks from the bar area. And then we had different survivor relatives, Titanic survivor relatives who were there who had contributed to the book. We had local chefs. I brought together local chefs like Chef Michael Lashowitz and Chef Chris Garonsky from the Gage. To be a part of this special night. And I remember thinking to myself that night, you know, taking a breath, taking a break for a second there and thinking, wow, this is one of the best networking events I've ever either attended or organized. And I was pretty happy with it.
It sounds pretty fascinating and an amazing experience. And kudos to you for being the one that made it happen and took the initiative to, you had a vision and you made it happen and you brought some amazing people into a room together.
Yeah. And I think the lesson there for me is, hey, if you want something a certain way, go ahead and do it yourself. Don't wait for an invitation or for, you know, someone to tell you about something through the grapevine, which is how we hear about networking events so often. And one thing I really loved about it is that we didn't have any technology really other than my YouTube. I had a playlist of songs from YouTube and they were all Titanic related. And we played that on the speaker system. So we did do that, but there wasn't a whole lot of, like, you know, there was no high tech VTC connection or anything. It was just, everybody was in person. Food was a central component that really brought everyone together, as it always does. And, you know, we had a really well thought out menu of, we had peach Melba because peaches are in season in July, and it might have been something that was on the Titanic. It was definitely an old enough recipe that it could have been. So we had peach Melba, and we had duck toast points, which duck would have been aboard the Titanic. And so I think that's another good suggestion, is to have a theme and has something that brings everything together.
That's awesome. I think that's fantastic. So as you've continued to build this community around a common theme, I'm sure there's people all over the world that you've connected with, but how do you stay in front of and nurture some of these relationships?
Well, social media really has helped. And as even though I mentioned earlier that it's so much nicer to get together in person, I think that's still important. But I'm a huge fan of Facebook and Instagram. Those are really my two go-tos. I just feel really connected to people, like the people that I mentioned just now describing the event. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what came out of that event is showing that we're going to all stay connected as well. I already received an invitation to speak at one of the invitees, one of the participants. He has a group. It's the Culinary Historians of Chicago.
Oh, cool. And
so, yeah, I mean, I really met interesting people. And, you know, that brings me to another point that I forgot to mention. I connected with a friend of mine, and I wasn't afraid to ask her, who do you think we should invite in addition to the people that I've invited? And I think by sharing those invitation lists with each other, you're only going to have a better experience for everyone, because the man I just mentioned who invited me to speak to his group, she invited him. And, you know, I think that's really key is, you know, keep yourself open to meeting new people. Don't be afraid to share your invitation list. You know, it's all about that. I love your show and the topic of community building, because we need this so badly right now. I had given a bunch of email addresses to someone the other day to invite people to her party. Didn't think a thing of it. She was surprised, Lori. She was like, oh, I can't believe you did this. We should be doing that all the time. We should be supporting one another. And especially when it's not going to hurt me at all. We're not competing. But even still, I think there is some reluctancy for people to support like that. And it's really a shame. I think we should do more of that.
Yeah, I agree with that. And that kind of ties into this, what advice would you offer that business professional who's looking to grow your network? And I feel like you started talking about that, and it's all about support, right?
Yes. And what are people afraid of? Why not share your network? Uh-huh. You know, I mean, and some people might be concerned about duplication. Hey, if it's duplicated, they'll get the message twice or maybe three times. I think that's a lot less of a problem than someone being isolated from, you know, being able to work towards their goals.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I just think the concept of sharing overall is better than trying to hold it in and trying to do everything on your own.
Right.
So you spoke about this a little bit from the social media standpoint, but obviously the in-person events you're putting on. At the end of the day, digital networking or traditional networking, which one do you find more value in?
Boy, that's a tough question. I mean, I guess I still just, I love in-person. It's my own personal preference. Mm-hmm. I would rather be sitting with you right now talking face-to-face, obviously. Mm-hmm. But then I love that this opportunity is there because of the technology.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to answer, but I guess, you know, I'm just kind of more of a pick up the phone kind of person. So for me, I would say in person.
Okay. I think there's nothing wrong with that. I know you definitely raved about Facebook and Instagram, you know, a couple minutes ago, but I would definitely agree having that in-person conversation. There's something different about that, right? Than the digital activities that are happening.
I think every time there's a digital interaction, something is missed. It's either a facial expression or something that we used to rely on much more heavily. Mm-hmm. And we don't have that anymore. And I miss that.
Yeah, I can understand and relate to that to some extent. All right, so here's a fun one. If you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
Well, I would say I wouldn't change a thing. I'm so happy about what I did, because that's the secret, I think, is you have to believe that. And I think the one thing I would say is make the most of every minute and still have that balance that you need to have to live a decent life. But I think the older you get, the more people you lose, and you start to realize the fragility of life, and you think you have forever, and you don't. You really don't. Last October, I came home from the oncologist's office, and you know, I was that woman looking in the mirror thinking, how long am I going to be here? Is it going to be weeks, months? What am I going to go through? And I lost a lot of time with the treatments and the surgeries. So having had breast cancer now, and I've gotten through it, and I'm much better. I'm still really tired from the treatments and whatnot, but I can honestly say that is something I would say to my 20-year-old self is, you know, try not to sleep in as much, have a lighter attitude. You know, don't get so uptight about things people say. Don't read into things. Don't sweat the small stuff.
I think that's great. I think those are all really powerful words that, you know, someone who's 20 right now is listening and hopefully takes it to heart.
I hope so too.
All right, Veronica. So we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. I think you've already illustrated to some extent that you've done a pretty good job at this. But who would be the one person that you'd love to connect with? And do you think you could do it within the sixth degree?
So does the person need to be someone that's living right now?
Ideally that illustrates the example of the 6 degrees of separation. But if there's someone outside of that realm, then let's talk about it.
So I'm having trouble thinking of someone, and I'm trying to grapple with the 6 degrees. So can you give me an example of who you would want to meet with?
Oh, goodness gracious. Okay. I love how you turned that around back on me.
I didn't mean to do that way.
Honestly, there's so many fascinating, inspiring people nowadays, and technology kind of, to some extent, allows you to connect to that person one-on-one by just watching someone on YouTube or following them on social media. But to be able to sit and have a face-to-face conversation with someone, I think Gary Vaynerchuk is quite fascinating, what he's doing with his business. And I think he would probably be the one person that I'd love to sit down and have a conversation with right now.
Yes, and I agree with that. I'm just stumped. I want to think of someone who is someone who's really inspiring, and I guess there are so many people is why I would want to sit down with so many people. That's why I'm really stuck on this one.
That's okay. It's not the end of the world. I mean, if I were to look at it from someone who's not alive, I don't know why, but I'm always fascinated with Albert Einstein. And I think he was far ahead of his time, and I would just love to hear him talk, actually.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned someone that's no longer here, because the person that I would love to sit down and have lunch with or have a cup of coffee with or tea is Julia Child. And she is someone to me who is 6 degrees of separation, because Gail Gand, who I mentioned, contributed two recipes to the book. I've worked with her for many years telling stories for my newspaper articles. And so I know her real well. And, I've seen the TV shows that she was on with Julia Child. And I remember thinking, oh, I wish, you know, what a wonderful experience for her to be in the kitchen with Julia Child. And there are wonderful recordings of that, of those programs, by the way, on YouTube that you can still go back and see. And I still love to watch them too, of Gail Gand and Julia Child together. And I really was happy for her that she had those experiences with Julia. And I've gone to look even at the old house that Julia lived in Georgetown in Washington, D.C. And I'm just, you know, really fascinated by her. So I would love to sit down with her.
It sounds like it would be a great conversation in so many different perspectives and avenues. So that was a good story to share around the 6 degrees of separation. And I like how we kind of put a little spin on it. All right. So as someone who is fascinated with continuous learning, and most of my guests are really, and I would assume you are in the space too, really put a lot of emphasis in continuous improvement, professional development. I'm always interested in learning. What are you doing as far as educating yourself? What books are you reading or podcasts are you listening to for that professional development?
Well, I love that question because right now I'm reading a lovely little book. It's by John Steinbeck and it's Of Mice and Men. I had never read that book before, and my brother told me about it. And in fact, he gave me his copy and said, I just ordered this book and I just love it. And I want you to read it too. And I'm reading Of Mice and Men right now. And it's, of course, a classic. And so that's what I'm trying to find more time for. It actually shouldn't take this long because it's a very short book. But it's a wonderful story about people, how people interact, about accepting people that aren't like you necessarily, that people that are different. And it's really a wonderful look at people and their ambitions and where they're trying to go in life and how they're trying to connect with the world.
Hmm. I've never read that book, actually.
I hadn't either. And I had heard about it so much. But it made me think, I wonder what other classics out there I haven't, you know, given enough attention to.
Sure. Well, I'm going to add that one to my to-read list, which continues to grow with every
I bet you have quite a reading list.
Oh, yeah. I'm nowhere near where I'd like to be. But yeah, it looks like, sounds like a great read.
And I've really been compelled by the programs that Susan Sarandon narrates about people that have been wrongfully convicted and they're in prison. I don't watch a lot of TV. I can go months without turning the TV on. But I'm just absolutely amazed by her. She is such a hero to me in the voice that she's given to people that have been wrongfully convicted. And I'm guessing it's probably no mistake that, you know, her husband, Tim Robbins, was in the movie Shawshank Redemption, which had so many messages about people being treated fairly and well. And so that's something else that how I entertain myself these days.
Wow. Good. Interesting. Fascinating. So any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
Well, one piece of advice I try to remember is that it takes 30 days to make a habit. Mm-hmm. And that's not that long, Lori. You know, it's like if you really stick your nose to the grindstone, you can come up with a new habit in 30 days. And so think of a new habit that you would like to instill in your life and make it happen.
So maybe reading a little bit more frequently.
Reading more frequently or being more specific about it and saying, I'm going to read every Saturday morning when I wake up in the morning and I'm not quite ready to get out of bed. I'm going to have a book right by my nightstand and read for half an hour. Yeah. Or I'm going to listen to audiobooks.
Yeah, I think that's great advice and fairly easy to implement as long as you continue to follow what it is that you're trying to do.
Yeah, my favorite quote, I think, or one of my favorites of all time, is a Mark Twain quote. And there's stories about Mark Twain in the book, as a matter of fact, if you can believe it. And one of my favorite quotes that he said was, give every day the opportunity to be the most fabulous day of your life.
I like that. I don't think I've ever heard that before.
It's one of my favorites.
That's fantastic. Okay, Veronica, if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way they can reach you?
Well, you can reach me through Facebook or Instagram at Foodstringer with no space or hyphen or anything. It's just Foodstringer. And you can also reach out to me on Twitter at the same handle, Foodstringer.
Cool. All right. And we will include all that information in the show notes. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show today.
Well, thank you. It was really fun talking with you, and it really gave me a lift to talk about, you know, ways of living better. Good conversation.
Yeah, I love that. And your storytelling is fantastic, obviously, as a writer. This was definitely a great conversation. Well, this wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Veronica Hinkey for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to see who will be on the show next. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next episode.